You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Is there a Spotify Wrapped for investing? If you want to invest in shares or ETFs, our friends at Perla are more than one step ahead of the curve. On average, people who use Perla invest $1,750 every month. That's what we want to see, proper dollar cost averaging. With automated investing tools making your life simple, Perla investors have well and truly mastered the art of investing small bits lots of times. So, if you're ready to start growing your net worth in 2024, follow the link in your Spotify or Apple Podcast player right now to discover how you can get started today.
Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast.
I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And we're here to give you the tools and knowledge to invest both your time and money better.
If you're new, feel free to jump in with our Starter Pack series that aired in early 2022, or our Shares or ETF mini series.
We've got plenty to share with you in today's episode, but if you want to catch us on socials,
head to Rask Australia on Insta and Twitter.
I'm also found at Kate Campbell AUS on Insta.
And I'm Owen Rask AU on Insta.
Just beware of the fake accounts. We'll never DM you about trading strategies or crypto. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's probably not us.
And just one final heads up before we get into the show. This podcast contains general financial information only.
Hello and welcome back to the Australian Finance Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Campbell, and today I have the wonderful Evan Lucas to help me out with our Brain Hacks series, which is all about understanding the way that you and money interact.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Yes, welcome. Nice to be back. Hi, Kate. The brilliant Kate Campbell. I love all these terms that we love to use in this series. Today is going to be quite fascinating because we are going off, thankfully, and we do want to say this very clearly, a question that's come in from a listener. If you do have questions, please send it in. Go onto the Rask website, do it, go through the normal channels, because it does give us a chance to actually interact with you guys. Because at the moment, we just talk to each other, and as you can hear, we love to gas bag. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, so, and the investing questions we get for Brain Hacks are really interesting because They're open-ended. They could have a lot of different solutions.
Yeah, and that word also is something I want to point out there. There is going to be no one solution or one best fit sized solution. There is no such thing as a cookie cutter when it comes to behavioral finance, for a good reason, because we're all different. So do remember that when Kate and I start to answer this question, talk about ways to deal with it. We may not have actually given you not necessarily the right answer, but the method that might help you. So do keep that in the back of your mind. Right, let's do this. Let's get into it.
All right. So the question is from Trigger Happy. Dear Kate and Evan, loving the Brain Hacks series, investing psychology is a fascinating area. My question, do you have any tips or thoughts on how to manage the boring parts of the investing journey? Maybe most of our investing strategy is explored, we've started down the path and are now somewhat on autopilot, but I can't shake the feeling that we need to be doing something more. And this is a super common feeling, Evan.
This super common feeling. So this also means that, you know, Trigger Happy, let's refer to that person as Trigger Happy, is now at a point where they're starting to see financial independence. They're starting to see their money do what they wanted it to do. And there's that natural reaction of it needs to be doing more. It's a natural reaction, right?
So, and I think many listeners are probably in this boat, Evan, because the first few years of learning about your finances, investing, trying out all the apps, setting things up, creating your plan, it's exciting. There's a lot to it. There's a lot involved. But then suddenly once you've done that, you don't actually have to keep learning and learning and learning. You can relatively stay on course.
Yeah. And you've also probably ticked off, inverted commas, your goals, right? I want to start. Mm. I want to invest. I need to bring my investment amounts up. I need to do X, Y, Z. All of these goals are in our world, investing, short term. And so all of a sudden you tick them all off. And so all of that elation, all of that celebration that comes with achieving those goals also dissipates. So now you get adverse, and I think trigger happy is a perfect word. You get that triggering feeling that I need to achieve that next goal. What is that next goal? What is it? Right? So that's what we're talking about. Boring, I would actually argue in Trigger Happy's comment, is I don't have that next thing. It's doing what I want it to do, but we sort of may have also not given ourselves that middle and longer term goal to achieve. Because not only that, if you do, most people will have the longer term goal, but that longer term goal can actually continue to just get further away, right?
Yeah, because the goals can easily go, make your very first investment of $1,000, and then suddenly it's have $100,000 invested, and then have $1 million invested. And there's a long time between each of those points.
Yeah, or even just, I want to achieve financial freedom.
Yeah.
Realizing that financial freedom can actually be a moving beast, right? So the finish line can actually keep moving on you because your lifestyle changes, you're getting older. I mean, obviously, you're a lot younger than me and we're in different stages of life.
But we're both in that middle stage.
Correct.
We haven't.
But my middle stage is different.
Yeah.
Because I've now got kids.
And you're further on your journey.
And I'm further on. But my financial goals do move. The goalposts do change, right? So my overall goal hasn't, because what I mean by that is that my younger person goal we achieved, buy a house, set ourselves up. The next goal was to make sure that my two little girls are financially completely independent, that they don't have to worry about what their parents are doing with their money, and that their money will be working for them forever. So they're the goals. But I will also let you know that I have the same feeling, right? I can see what I'm doing with it, and I can see that time around it, which is, I've spoken about this before, the education of the girls is really important to me. It's there, but it's still a long way away. And therefore, we're also asking the question, maybe we don't have to do it now, because by the time we get there, we'll actually be doing enough to probably pay for their school fees if that's what we're doing. So maybe we'll go to university. So I'm also moving the goals. And that's, again, what Trigger Happy is asking. The point is that I'm in this middle period of I'm changing my goals, I'm changing my decisions. And because I'm changing my decisions, I need to act.
Yeah.
That's the question.
I think for me, when I started investing 8 years ago, it was all very exciting at the beginning. I was tracking every $100 that my net worth increased. Like, I was looking at this spreadsheet I set up every week. I was testing everything. But slowly over time, as I've figured out my foundations, I know my plan, everything's in place, I've moved my identity less away from my finances, and I've slowly started to put it in the background as something. Instead of checking my net worth every week, I only check in twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I review my spending once a month just to get a ballpark of where my money's been allocated, and is that in line with what I value and my general budget? And am I mostly on track towards my goals? But it's something I don't think about on a daily basis anymore, apart from when we're doing goal setting episodes for the podcast. So sometimes I'm forced to think about it more often than I would, but I slowly sort of distance my identity from investing and thinking about improving my personal finances all the time. And it's become just part of the background.
Yeah,
part of,
and I think
part of the furniture.
One of our points in the last month from the five things that we had is technology.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where that technology part comes into it. Again, as we said at the start of the episode, this may or may not work. But one of the methods to get you through that inverted commas boring part of the journey is to actually then change a visualization of the journey, right? Do you actually need to have those short-term goals to keep you going? And what I mean by that, again, some of the technology now can actually show you what's referred to as your wealth speed, right? How much are you making across all of your assets and all of your expenses and all of your income? What are you making per hour? Maybe that's the trigger. Or some of the budgeting apps that turn around and go, right, if you do want to make a decision and you do want to trigger happy, put some investments in, that those budgeting apps can actually trigger you to go, today's the month you need to put $500 into your account. And by the way, if you're really putting that $500 in, it doesn't just go into your brokerage account or whatever account it is, you actually go and click trade, right? You go and do that trade, add to what you have, whatever it might be. So again, it brings you back to feeling like you're contributing, feeling like you've, you know, at the start where you did have that, I've done my first investment, my portfolio is growing, I've now got five, six, however many holdings, blah, blah, blah. All of that is about helping. But as long as it's still behavior and actions that are going to those discussions that Kate just had about that longer idea of what those goals might be. And as I said, they do flex and they do move on you, but it's about making sure that whatever it is, it's not breaking the original mold, because that's the worst part, is to break your original mold.
Yeah. So I probably am a lot less involved in my long-term goal of financial independence, because that's something that just happens in the background. And sure, depending on the year or the month or what's happening in my life, I'll increase or reduce the inputs into that goal. But overall, I know what's happening. But then I'll be more actively involved in a short-term goal. So I want to travel. I'm going to decide how much that is. I'm going to find some extra income. And I'll be more actively involved in that goal and focus on it a lot more while I have the other one working in the background, because I don't want to be tempted to change my investment plan every month. I don't want to be selling my portfolio and restarting it all the time, because that's not going to get me anywhere.
Yeah. And also remember, things aren't linear. So do remember that although things might be, inverted commas, boring right now, that's part of the whole path, right? So if things got rocky, that boring would not be there. Right, because all of a sudden, you know, you'd have volatility in the market. Your investments will probably be going slightly backwards. Your forward goal planning gets put back a bit because obviously things move short term, and it is short term. So do also have that as a reminder. We spoke about that also in the first episode for 2024. Do remember that this year is going to be slightly different. It is starting to feel different. You're hearing about it a lot more. A lot more people are feeling more worried. We are and have a consumer pessimism that's at the same level since the 1990s recession. So remember, therefore, things aren't linear. And that's why dabbling, tinkering, whatever term you want to know or use, will affect that longer term goal. Because again, right now, it might be okay, but there is going to be, and I can say it confidently, there is going to be a time where things won't be going as well, because nothing's linear. Events happen. We know that. History is littered with them, and we've just been through a big one in COVID. So that's all, again, about this understanding that, as Kate said, it's in the background. And if it's in the background, you don't have to think about it. That's actually one of the most achievable, like one of the best achieved goals, to have your finances working for you without you having to think about it. Because if you're not thinking about it, your mind's free to do the things that it wants to do.
And if you do want to tinker and you find yourself knowing that maybe it's not going to be helpful for your finances, but it's something you really want to do, I would just think of ways that you can put some, what are those things on bikes called? Training wheels.
Training wheels?
Or like guide rails.
Yeah.
Something around the tinkering. So maybe you only give yourself $1,000 a year to tinker with, or you only make it maximum 5% of your overall net worth that you're allowed to buy and sell things with on a regular basis. If you find yourself really wanting to make some more investments and do things with your portfolio, make it safer for yourself.
Yeah. I look, again, I also think it's about visualizing that medium and longer term scenario and not beating yourself up when the goals change, because they will. I mean, time will change your goals. Your life will change your goals, where you are in that, you know, in that sphere. As I said, it's not linear, so it will move about on you quite regularly. Don't beat yourself up. But I mean, it then also comes down to, you know, managing that way and looking at what your longer term goals are versus the excitement of the start. I think the other thing we want to probably talk about with regards to this question is autopilot is great, and absolutely believe that's what you need to do. It's, from my perspective again, and this, I'll say this very clearly, it's not always the right answer, but from my perspective again, it's about now actually making the habit of it, whether that's writing down plans, whether that's, again, re-evaluating your plans after a certain period of time, right? So that you get more involved, getting those goals reset. So I'm at that point, and I just said it before, is that I did reinvest our goal setting to reinvest the portfolio that we have and to reinvest our financial freedom, because it's changed. And I think that may also help trigger happy with going, I'm in the boring phase. Is it boring because also you know that your scenario is changing, and therefore you might have to think about changing the goals of what you're trying to do?
I think the tricky thing is sometimes once you've worked out what financial independence, what that number could look like, and then you realize it's going to take 10 or 15 or 20 years to get there, it can kind of feel like, why can't I just get to that end goal already?
Yeah. But that's the catch with all this, right? So now we're getting into the whole concept of delayed gratification. And you know, a decision that can never be proven is going to be hard to stick to, because that's the other thing we're talking about here, right? So if your decision that you've made can never actually be confirmed because of delayed gratification, that also has a catch to it, right? So again, reorientating your thinking. Does that mean that you need to go to talking about, you know, having and have not? And what I mean by that, the abundance discussion that I'd love to talk about now. So money gratitude, you know, being grateful for what you have, how you deal with being grateful means that also it will start to make things more abundant, right? So the growth that it's giving you underneath may actually change your mindset to being more optimistic, being more, you know, open to what's going on to the future, all of those kinds of things. That's all part of it. But again, it's a tough one because there are so many ways to deal with it. But for me, that's how I'd go back to it, is going, okay, can I be grateful for where I'm at, what I'm doing? If I can, I therefore know I'm going to be more abundant with what I have.
Mm. And then maybe even thinking about, if you are someone that really likes those financial milestones, are there some you can set along the way? Mm-hmm. Like every $10,000 that you increase towards your goal, well, can you celebrate that in a little way? Is there something fun you can do? Can you go out for a coffee and just recognize your growth so far?
Yeah. And so that, the perfect example. So celebrate is known in the studies to actually sort of solidify that behavior and solidify that habit. So that I think is a really, really good point. And you're right. It doesn't have to be anything massive. Going out for a coffee, buying a bottle of wine, even being naughty and buying a chocolate bar or whatever it happens to be, because it then, again, solidifies the behavior. It stops you from tinkering.
Yeah.
It stops you from getting away from the bad behavior of changing your goal or changing your financial numbers. I also think, and we're sort of covering the same ground, which is good, because repetition is also part of this. The more you repeat the same thing over and over again, the sooner we get there. So back to delayed gratification. If you're doing the right behavior, you actually still get that same or start goal kick. I'm still investing. I'm still adding $1,000. I'm still, and that the extra $1,000 is above and beyond what I was going to have when I started. So again, repetition helps with all of this as well. And that's maybe where the boring comes from, is that, yep, you're on autopilot. That's great. But part of the autopilot might be going from $1,000 a month, maybe to get yourself that tinkering, you jump it to 20, you know, $1,200 or whatever it might be. So that repetition continues to happen, but on a positive basis.
And we also get a lot of meaning and fulfillment from reaching goals. So it's also worth considering, can I set some more goals and things I want to work towards that are nothing to do with my finances? Maybe they're to do with my relationships or things I really want to do and experience or something I want to achieve at work. So you're still working towards other short-term goals that are really meaningful to you, and you get that happiness boost when you reach that goal without having to involve changing your financial plan that's already on autopilot in the background.
So I think that's a big episode, and it's been great to actually sit here and do an episode about a question. So as we said at the start, if you want more of these episodes, please let us know. But more importantly, please question us. Because as I said at the start of this, we don't necessarily have the right answer. And therefore, if you've got a question that's also possibly an answer or a statement that we can use as an episode, please send them into Rust Media and get us out to really flesh out more and more ideas around why, you know, money behavior is such an important topic.
So lots of people are feeling the same way as you. So I think it's an important discussion to have. And I'll just leave you with one point I had written down, that if you find yourself wanting to make changes to your investment portfolio, come back to your original plan and ask yourself why and what value will this add. So Evan, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to ask questions, sending their own ideas and statements, you'll find the link in the podcast player. We have plenty more Brain Hacks episodes you can catch up with in the show notes, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, see you next month, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast. We hope you learned something new and were able to take one thing away from this episode.
If you're keen to learn more, head on over to Rask Education and take one of our free money and investing courses. You could even become a RAS Core member for less than your Netflix subscription each month. And don't forget to subscribe for new episodes in your inbox every week.
Plus, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and send any questions our way via the link in the description. And before we go on, did this podcast contain personal financial advice just for me?
Absolutely not, Kate. Our podcast actually contains general financial information only. What that means is the information does not take into account your financial needs, goals, objectives, or even your situation. So because of that, it's important that you consider if the information is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on it.
If that all sounds a bit confusing or you're still working out what your needs are, it's a great idea to consult a licensed and trusted financial planner. And don't forget to do your own research.
Are you thinking about starting your wealth-creating journey, but not sure where to put your hard-earned dollars? InvestSmart can help. InvestSmart offers a free quiz that makes it easy to find the right InvestSmart ETF portfolio to help you reach your goals. Just visit investsmart.com.au and hit Get Started. Answer a few simple questions about your goals and how much you want to invest, and you'll get a tailored statement of advice with a portfolio recommendation. You can visit investsmart.com.au for a no obligations free statement of advice. This ad is brought to you by InvestSmart Advice, AFSL 334107. For more than a decade, I've been hunting for the best investors and their methods, strategies, and tools for investing. After years in the industry, countless books, a few degrees, and 1,000 podcasts and live shows, I've rolled this accumulated knowledge into something called Rask Invest. If you've ever heard me talk about a core and a satellite, active and passive, true long-term compounding, or you simply want to know exactly how I would invest, now is your chance. Rask Invest is our new investment service, designed for all types of investors who want professional management of their core portfolio at a low cost from a team they trust. Rask Invest helps you automate your wealth creation and passive income. Simply click the link that says Invest with Owen in your podcast player to join one of our live platform walkthroughs or book a call with us. You can also view the Rask Invest PDS and TMD and get invested with me.